Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Rob McFarlane and Lottie Mayer.
Let's give a warm welcome to Rob and his team, if they're coming up at the same time. All two of them today. What have you done with Alex? Okay, so these guys have been out, as you know, in Burkina Faso. So this morning they're going to give us some of their stories and tell you about what's been happening out there.
Hi. So we went to Burkina Faso, which is in the middle of West Africa. Yeah, it's there. In the middle of West Africa, borders Mali, Niger to the north, Ghana, Ivory Coast, Benin, Togo. So we're going to give a really quick overview of what we did. Just share back to you guys. This is what we did. And then share some of what God did kind of through our going. And then what God said to us individually as well, what we got from it. So, yeah, super quick. We flew into Ouagadougou, which is, I reckon, the coolest named capital ever. And stayed there for a few days, for 3 days. The photos are all just going to kind of flick through and give you an idea of what's going on and what it was like. Some of the time we're in cities, some of the time we're in villages, bush. So there's a mixture. I'll give you an idea of what happened. We spent 3 days in the capital at the beginning, kind of acclimatizing, getting to a chance for people to get used to being in a different place, because it is different. Met with the church leaders there. There's an incredible openness in the church leaders, with the church leaders in Burkina. The main church there is the Assemblies of God Church. Has about 60,000 people in it, which is a lot of people. And we met with the church leaders, and they said, hey, we want to spend some time with you. We want to chat with you. We want to share our vision with you. So, yeah, that's some favor there. So we met with them. They shared their vision with us, and that was really cool. You know, Burkina, you saw it, it was on the map. Burkina Faso is in a very strategic place. It's surrounded by many nations, many Muslim nations, that are really in need of the gospel. And Burkina has had, well, I mentioned before we went, it had something, a bit of a revival, kind of in the last 30 years. Church share has grown from about 20,000 to over a million. So now the church there, the leaders, are kind of like, well, you know, we want to take the gospel. We want to reach every village in Burkina within 10 years. So there are many villages there that still haven't had the gospel preached in them. We went to some of them on our trip and preached the gospel. And yeah, they want to reach all of the villages within 10 years. And then beyond that, to reach into the surrounding nations. Nations where there is massive need, like Niger to the northeast of Burkina. It's about 98% Muslim. And, you know, most of the people there have never heard the gospel preached to them in a meaningful way. So, yeah, exciting stuff. Went to Ouaga, then went to a city called Bobo Dioulasso. We were teaching kids about David and Goliath, and then we fell over. Went to Bobo, which is another city in the south. Spent some time there with people that we knew, church people. The women spent some time with one of the female missionaries down there. Which was really cool. And then there was a kind of a quick stop. Then we went to a largish town called Banfora, which is where we spent most of our stay. This is surrounding Banfora. Doing kind of evangelization. Evangelism. That's what you call it. The towns around, lots of the villages around Banfora are really needy places. They're places where the gospel either has never been preached in a meaningful way, or it has been preached and there is a small church, but it's still kind of the frontier of taking the gospel to where it's not known, to where it isn't being preached, isn't known. Yeah. So we spent 10 days with this kind of pastor missionary guy. So he's a missionary who came from Ouaga, the capital, down to Banfora, and then he goes to lots of surrounding villages and takes the gospel, which was really cool. So most of our general day there would be morning, afternoon. We spent some time with the local church, we spent some time with the kids, spent some time with the worship team there, which was really cool. Just sharing with them, saying this is how it works in our church, how can we help you guys, and praying for them and all that kind of good stuff. And then in the evening, went to a different village every night, most nights, and prayed, met people, and showed the Jesus film, which some of you may know. It's a kind of quite an old school dramatic depiction of which gospel? One of the gospels. So it kind of tells the story of Jesus, and then showing it in a film makes it easy for people to see. Burkina Faso has, at least it did a couple of years ago, it had the lowest literacy rate in the world. A lot of people don't read, so showing a film is a really good way of communicating. So that's what we did. And then we preached the gospel. The three boys, there are a team of six of us, three boys and three girls, three boys. We preached. We weren't expecting to. And then we asked the pastor it was a kind of first, we were preparing for all our going away. And they said, okay, we're going to show the Jesus film, and then someone's going to preach, and then we're going to see people saved. And we said, okay, that sounds cool. So who's doing the preaching? And they said, oh, you're doing the preaching. So we preached, and it was amazing. We preached in English, and it got translated into French, which then got translated into Jula, which was cool. And it's an awesome privilege to preach the gospel where it's never been preached, or to preach the gospel to a crowd who have never heard it properly, who've never heard it before. And I think it's amazing that we're all kind of student-y type people. We're a bunch of students, went over and they said, hey, preach the gospel. So we did. But some of us have had like some training in various bits and pieces, but we're just a bunch of people who have said, yeah, all right, I'll have a go. And people got saved. So the first two nights we went to the same village. And this village has no church. And the pastor told us when we arrived, coming here today and tomorrow night, then after that we want to plant a church with all the people that get saved in these two nights. So we did. And the first night, one guy came forward. And, we can look at that and say only one. But at the same time, I thought it was amazing. That guy was possibly the first Christian, the first believer ever to come from that village. And so us going there, we're the first British group that's ever been to that village. Us going there, God used us. And that's cool. Then the second night, a lot more people got saved. And about five or six people from that village in total got saved. So now they can plant a church there where there hasn't been a church before. They'll send the pastor up and he'll do all the stuff, which is cool. Every night we saw salvation. Especially children, a lot of children are really open to the gospel. And I've said to a few of you when I've chatted about this, it says in the Bible, Jesus talks about having faith like children. And it's something God kind of really brought home to me over the time there is actually we should have a childlike faith. Because the kids there, they didn't really care about, if I give myself to Jesus, then this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and the other thing's going to happen. And they didn't think, oh, what about this? What about that? What about the other? I'm going to stand back from giving myself to Jesus. They just went for it. They said, yeah, that's a good message. I'm having some of that. And did. And it was amazing. And prayed for the sick, and they got healed, which is cool. every night we would say, look, do you want to come to know Jesus? Here's your opportunity. Do you want to be healed? Here's your opportunity. And we had a lot of people who came forward to be healed. Had a guy with wrists that didn't work. I don't know what was wrong with him, but the muscles on his wrist just didn't really work. Sometimes better than other times, but he couldn't pick things up. He couldn't do things, so big disadvantage. Prayed for him, and his wrist got solid. So that was pretty cool. We prayed for a couple of guys who were demon possessed, and they got free, which was also cool. You know what I love about that is, you know, I've never prayed for anyone who's demon possessed before, but you know, the name of Jesus is above all other names. It doesn't really matter about the this is how you do it or that's how you do it. The name of Jesus is above all other names. So when you come in his authority, it's all good. It was really funny, actually. There was a big line of people who wanted healing, and we went down the line. Well, some guy translated for me because they didn't speak French. And he said, oh, this guy's got a sore head, this guy's got a sore stomach, sore head, this guy's demon-possessed, this guy's got a sore head. It was just one of those really funny moments. I had another guy, which I think is amazing. This guy, he has, I don't know what was wrong with him either. His whole body would shake, especially when he was around people. He'd get nervous, and his whole body would shake to the point where he couldn't walk, he couldn't pick things up, he couldn't function. So we went to the witch doctor. You know, in this part of Africa, witchcraft is very prominent. It's around, people see it. The demonic is very kind of, I suppose, in your face, or at least people know about it, and people know that there is a power that comes from the demonic. So the guy went to the witch doctor and said, can you heal me? Can you sort me out? And the witch doctor couldn't do it. So he went to the imam, the pastor, the kind of like the pastor of a mosque, Muslim leader, and said, I want to be healed. Can you heal me? And he said, well, he didn't get healed. So one day, this guy who shakes met a church pastor in the village he was in. And the pastor said, give your life to Jesus and he will heal you. I really love this story because right at the start there was an act of faith. The guy wasn't healed when he gave himself to Jesus, but slowly he started to get better. Then he came to our meeting in the evening and he got considerably better. He got to the point where he could walk, which wasn't something he was able to do before. Which is amazing. And he was pretty excited about that. And then he came back the following morning. Like, when I say excited, people often don't show emotions the same way as we do here. So he had a bit of a grin on his face, and he was excited, but he was, I don't know, people show emotions differently there, which is a cultural difference which takes time to get used to. Anyway, he came back to us the following morning, walked all the way from his house, which wasn't possible before. So, you know, praise Jesus, he had already been healed that far, and then came and talked to us, and we prayed for him again. And he got to the point where he said, look, I feel better. I feel fine. We prayed for his eyes as well. His eyesight got better. He could see long distances where he couldn't before. And, you know, that's awesome. That's... Yeah, Jesus saves. When you pray for the sick, they get healed. And again, what I love about this is that in a way, none of us really knew what we were doing. We just prayed and God turned up. That was kind of our... I'm going quite quick because we don't have a lot of time. That was our kind of overview. And then we came back again. So we went back up to Bobo after that for a few days, spent some time with people there again, and then went back to Wagga and met their pastors again. It was really cool when we went back to Wagga just before we went home, and we ended up in a meeting with like four of the biggest church leaders in the country and us. These are the big cheese leaders in Burkina Faso. It's like, I don't know how you'd compare them. The Archbishop of Canterbury, whatever. You know, these are the people who run the church, the Alive Church there. And And they said, look, we want to spend some time with you. I wasn't that long. It was a few minutes, but they interrupted their meeting so that we could come and spend some time with them. And they said, look, there is an open door here. We want to work with you. We want to partner with you to see God's kingdom come here. And yeah, praise God. There is an open door there for us to work with them. What I love about this is that it's not us as the missionaries coming in and having our little jolly thing that we do, and then the church working separately, but that we are working together. Yeah. You know, I think things are always better when we work together. Yeah. Things are always better when the church unites. And yeah, the door is open to go work with the church, which is cool. Shall we? Let's just share a bit of what God said to us individually, because hopefully it'll bless you guys and give you an idea of what happened. Yeah.
Not just going to stand there like a lemon for about 20 minutes. Like, So I went to Burkina Faso off the back of Rob saying to me one day, oh, do you want to go to West Africa? And I was like, oh, why not? So then I thought, okay, great. Maybe I actually need to think about this. And like, why? And I said, yes. And I was like, I'm going to go, because I said, you know, sometimes you just feel that actually things are right. God doesn't, there's not like a beaming voice from heaven that says, yes, you must go to Burkina Faso. Not that that's what God sounds like, but that, and I suddenly knew, I was like, actually, I have to go. But then I was like, well, God, when I'm there, you have to speak to me, because I don't really know why I'm going. I'm just going to get on a plane. I'm going to save up the money and I'm going to go. So we got there, and I've never been outside of Europe before. So I landed on this little runway in Ouagadougou, like, let the fun begin, eh? Open the door, the heat just goes, and you kind of melt before you get to the check-in bit. But I got there and thought, okay, God, it starts now. God, it starts now. Start speaking to me now. And we spent a couple of days in the capital city getting used to how stuff worked. And I kind of went with my ideas of everything that the guys had said to us, because these guys, a couple of guys have been before and spent quite a long time there and explained to us some of the culture, some of how it works. But then that was all from a very male perspective. And in West Africa, things are a little bit different in that men and women have very, very different roles. And so I went there and the guys went off to do their thing. They were wandering around the streets, you know, chatting to people, and the guys would come up and be like, oh, bonjour, ça va? Because everyone says, ça va, which is like, how's it going? All the time. But the women don't do that. They're so busy. Like, the women are incredible. They are like actual machines. They're so strong and they support their families. They do so much stuff. And they're so busy all the time as well that I was like, well, how do I talk to you guys? What do I do? Like, how do I relate to you? And a lot of them don't speak French either, which, I mean, I speak French, but a lot of the older women don't. Like, beyond a certain point, maybe 18 below, women that are educated, they speak, so it's fine to communicate with them. But beyond that point, they don't speak French. So I was a bit like, great, what do I do? Because most of the guys are educated, so they can all communicate and it's fine. And I was a bit like, God, why have you got me here? What are you doing? Like, I can't even talk to these people. Like, why? Why the heck have you brought me to Burkina Faso? And then I realised that actually the lesson that God was teaching me at this particular point in time that I thought I'd already learnt was, you can't do anything. And I was like, oh, great, thanks for bringing me here to tell me that. But he did, and I suddenly realised, actually, you know what, I genuinely cannot do anything, because up until that point, I can't do anything without God had been in areas that I was comfortable in, and I could still, like, you know, in worship and stuff, it's like, well, I can't do it, but God can. But I could still kind of do it, if that makes sense. I can still sing, I can still play a keyboard to some extent. But to suddenly be put in front of a woman that doesn't speak your language, that she doesn't speak yours, you don't speak hers, and it's like, communicate. Like, God, I can't do this. I can't do it. But then I realised, actually, you know what, it isn't. It really isn't about me. It's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's about what God does. And It's just, it's incredible. Like, we spent some time, particularly night. We were doing door-to-door evangelism, and I went with, we met up with a pastor and his wife that were out there, and I went with this woman who spoke Julo, which is a local dialect, and I was speaking in French, and she was translating for me. But then there was one point at which we went to this compound, and there was a really old woman sitting there. She was an absolute legend. She was just sitting on the floor, kind of reading a Quran, like you do, and we went in there, and the lady that I was with suddenly just stopped translating. And this woman was talking at me like I understood what she was talking about. So she's like, ah, blah, 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 blah. I've no idea what she was saying. And she would talk at me in Jula, and I suddenly thought, well, I don't understand what you're saying. But actually, I believe that God's going to do something in this. I'm just going to talk at you in English, because that's all I did. I was like, well, there's no point me even trying to speak French, because she doesn't understand. So I just started talking to her in English, and she was speaking at me in June, and she had a great big grin on her face. I've no idea what was going on. But it's like, actually, you know, God does things. And it says in the Bible, doesn't it, that no word that comes from the mouth of God returns void. And actually, that's something else I learned over these 3 weeks, is that actually everything we say and we speak we speak God's life into situations, something changes, even if you don't see it or have a clue what is going on. Because I didn't have a clue half the time what was going on, because it's a bit crazy in Burkina Faso half the time. And the evangelism side of stuff was quite interesting for me, because the women couldn't preach, because it just wouldn't have really worked culturally. And so for me, I was a bit like, great, like, what do I do for 9 days? Do I just sit here? What do I do? Like, what do I do? But then, and when the first guy came forward, you know, it was absolutely incredible to see the first guy in the first village give his life to God. I was like, you know, that's incredible. That is absolutely amazing. But where are the women? Like, where are the women? And I knew that God had done stuff throughout that evening, because I was like, come on, God, come on, God, come on. Because I kind of expected for loads and loads and loads of people to come forward and be like, yeah, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to. But then one guy came, and that guy was incredible. But I thought, there is a lot more than this. There is a lot more than we've seen tonight to happen over the next few days. And that was really frustrating. And I was kind of like, why haven't we seen more? Like, God, why haven't we seen more? And I thought, is that just me wanting to see results? But then I thought, actually, I don't think it is. Because with the women, I'm going to talk about the women, because that's what I've done for quite a while. But, you know, with the women, they're underneath the men, basically. So the women have to follow the guys. So that if a guy is a Muslim, the women, the family have to be Muslim. And they've got so much to lose if they choose to follow Christ, because they could potentially, I don't know what could happen to them, but they are in a risky situation if they decide to follow God with all of their heart. And so I was like, okay, so this is really interesting, because God, there are people out there. I knew that there were people out there that wanted to respond. There was something going on. It's like, God, what is it? Like, God, we need to see things. Barriers be broken down. We need to see things change. We need to see something shift in this area, in this region, because there are women that want to give their lives to you. There are women that want to be healed. No women came forward for healing either. I was like, why? Because I knew that there were ill ones out there. There were some women like kind of, not quite like that, but they were kind of hobbling and all sorts of stuff. And I thought, well, just come forward, just do it. But they didn't. And I was like, why, God, why? Why isn't this happening? And he said, be still and wait. And I don't really like being still and waiting. It's not really what I did up until that point. And I was like, well, I want to see things now. But what that night did was it stirred in me this desire to see things change that I used to have, and I had it. And I was like, God, I want to see you invade people's lives. I want to see people's lives shift. I want to see them change, transformed. But I didn't see it on that night. I was like, whoa, come on, God, come on, God. And something shifted inside me that night. And I suddenly realized, because up until that point, when I found out that the guys were preaching, I was a bit like, bit of a spare part, kind of, maybe a little bit, maybe. But then I thought, actually, you know what? No, because I know we all know this, but prayer is absolutely vital. And so what I decided to do was like, actually, you know what? I'm a key member of this team. I decided that night that actually, well, I'm going to pray all the way through, and I'm not going to stop. I'm going to give it everything, because that's what I'm here to do. And And you know what? It was incredible. Like, the next night, I think it was only maybe one woman, I think, came forward. But I was like, great, you know, that's a start. And we prayed for her, and I can't remember. Oh, no, we prayed for her. She was a woman that couldn't have kids. She had a problem with her menstrual cycle or something, and she was like, it's not working. So I thought, okay, great. That's not the kind of thing you see instantly change, I guess. But we prayed for her, and she was also like, oh, I've got some kind of, like, spiritual thing going on within me, and I want to see that change. So I thought, oh, okay. And she didn't speak French, so I was like, oh, great, I'm just going to pray and see what happens and believe that God's going to do something. And at the end, she was very kind of... That's kind of all she did. But she was like, something, whatever it was that was inside of me left, and I felt something shift. And she didn't move, she didn't show any emotion whatsoever apart from... That was all she did. But I was like, actually, you know what? God has done something in that one woman. And because that one woman stepped forward... A barrier was broken because she was like, yeah, I've got the courage to come forward and be like, actually, yeah, I need healing. And as a result of that, when she was healed from whatever was wrong with her, she gave her life to God. And that was the first woman to do that. And it was just like, come on, God. But I could talk for a very long time, so I probably need to shut up in a bit. But then after that, gradually more and more and more women came forward and more women started to respond to stuff. But it wasn't even about that, really. It was more, for me, what God taught me was that actually it is about perseverance. And that I was talking to this missionary who's been, she's a Western woman, and she's been in Burkina for, I don't know, how long has she been there for? 30 years, which is quite a long time. So she knows what's going on in West Africa. And she said, actually, to be a female missionary in West Africa is one of the hardest things anybody can do. And she said she's seen so many people come in and go out because the women are so hard. They've got such hard hearts just because of the lifestyles that they lead and the way that they live their lives. But it was just like, come on, God, to see barriers broken down, to see things shift, to see things happen. But I realized that it's all because of the love of God. And I know that we know that God's love changes things, but it kind of takes it to a new level when you see a woman who's never really probably even heard of God before, who's never she doesn't know anything about God. She probably doesn't even know what love is. Like, what is love? And I realized that half the women out there, I bet half of them don't know what love is. Like, they've never experienced what real love is. And I thought, God, they need to know your love. They need to know you. They need to know everything that you are, because that's what changes things. That's what breaks barriers down. And I suddenly thought, flip, we need to see things change. And I've kind of cried every time I've done this. I'm going to try and not do that now. But God's heart breaks for women. God's heart breaks because... I'll get there in a second, I promise. Because he loves them so much. And I think... I've done this every single time I've talked about this, and I was kind of like, oh man, I feel so pathetic. But actually, God was like, you know what? That's what I do every time I see a woman whose heart is so hard that she won't let me in. That's what I do. I weep over them. My heart breaks over them. And God kind of, he did this to me a while ago, which I was a bit kind of like, oh, thanks very much about. But he gave me this heart a while ago for women, because I went through a period of time in which I kind of forgot about God, and he restored me back to, like, he just showed me how much he loved me, basically, and completely changed my life. And as a result, he gave me a heart to see other people come to know him. And but then I thought, actually, that transfers, that crosses barriers. It doesn't matter whether I speak their language, God's love does. God's love communicates beyond everything that we can do. And you know what? I didn't see, like, wrists work or people stop shaking or anything like that when I was praying for people. But you know what? It didn't matter, because I thought, actually, you know what, God is doing stuff. God is changing lives. And it's not about what we see, and it's not about whether we're seen either. And that's something else. I don't know how much time I've got. Doesn't matter. But okay, that's fine. But you know what? The women in Africa aren't seen either. Like, the women in the church, they're respected, but you don't see them. They're not like the ones on the pedestal, like, I shall bring you a word today. And everyone's like, oh, thank you very much, Pastor. Thank you very much. That's not what they do. But the women, man, they're amazing. Like, they persevere, they pray, they're incredible. And I kind of thought from Western culture, you kind of think if you're seen, then therefore God's doing stuff and it's really good. But actually, God said to me that it doesn't matter where you are, I see you. It doesn't matter what you say, what you do even, I see you. And that's incredible when you're going for God, but it's also a challenge when you're not, because it's like, it doesn't matter whether people see you going for God or whether they see you not going for God, God still sees you. And he still sees everything that you do. He sees your heart, he sees everything. And it really stirred me again just to keep going and going and going and going and not give up, because actually things change when we pray, things change when we persevere, and God does stuff. And I'm going to shut up now because you need to talk.
So yeah, God spoke. She's good. Actually, there's only two of us here, but every person who came on the trip, every one of the six of us, all came away saying, wow, I heard God say this or that, or God showed me this or that or the other. So, you know, as well as going, there was a definite receiving from us, for us, to us, in us. So that's really good. I'm just going to give a very brief summary of kind of what God said to me through it. And yes, so... First of all, we had a really good trip, and I was amazed at God's faithfulness. Before we left, a lot of people spoke to us, a lot of people prayed for us, over us, prophesied, and there was a kind of the general theme of what everyone said is, we're going to see healing, we're going to see salvation, we're going to have a much greater impact than we see with our kind of natural eyes, than we physically see when we go there. We're going to be very encouraging to people. And that as we pray, as we go and we do, things will be initiated that and started, and things will be different as a result of us being there. And we saw that. We saw healings. We saw salvation. We saw, you know, a lot of the pastors we spent time with, they said, wow, we're so happy you've come. We're really encouraged as a result of you being here. You know, we've been really blessed by you being here. And our attitude, you know, a lot of the pastors we spoke to, both in Banfora and kind of more in the capital, said to us, you know, there are a lot of foreign groups who come in, but they stay in the capital, they stay in the cities, they do aid projects or whatever, but they don't come and preach the gospel. They don't come and share the life that God has given them. And they were loving it that we were so up for kind of preaching and taking the gospel where it needs to go. So that was great. We prayed for a lot of people. We saw a lot of physical healings in front of us, but also we prayed for a lot of people with sore heads, with sore stomachs, sore legs and arms and all that stuff. And we saw a lot, pretty much everyone healed. Not everyone, but, you know, the vast majority of people were healed. And some of those people will be just a bit of a sick stomach, just a bit of a sick head. But, you know, you don't know what's actually going on inside. Someone can say, I've got a sore stomach. That can mean any number of things. It can mean I've, you know, just a bit ill today. Or it can mean, you know, your insides are broken from whatever. You've got whatever sickness. And we haven't seen kind of what every person had. We haven't seen what every person's been healed from. But I believe that our praying, you know, we saw a lot of stuff happen that we didn't see, or a lot of stuff happened that we didn't see. So yeah, you know, God is faithful. You know, everything that people said to us happened, and God moved as a result of us going, which again is all, like I said before, we're not a bunch of big cheese leaders, we're a bunch of random students who decided to go and say, yeah, God, I'm available, come use me. And he did. Yes. God spoke to me about salvation as well. You know, salvation is something I think, or especially me, I've, like some of you, not like others of you, I've grown up in a Christian family. So I've always been around church. I've always been around people saying, hey, let's get saved. and what salvation means. Give your life to Jesus and he will save you. But, you know, God really brought it home, especially as I preached the salvation message as I never had before. I've never got up in front of a group of people and said, this is the gospel. God loves you. Give your life to him. And through doing that, I looked through the Bible and, you know, salvation, God's salvation message isn't just in one verse here or there. It's all through the Bible. You know, the whole Bible is the message of salvation. And, you know, I think for me anyway, salvation is something that I took for granted. You know, I think salvation is the greatest miracle of all. We want to see people get out of wheelchairs. We want to see people's limbs grow back. We want to see all of that. But actually, salvation, I believe, is the greatest miracle of all. That someone can come from being separated to God and then become connected. That God says, I want to meet with you. I want to know you. I want to give you life. I guess the big message that I came out with is Jesus saves, because he does save. You know, it says in Acts that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's true. You know, wherever you are, whatever's wrong with you, whatever you've done, God saves you if you give yourself to him. And, you know, that is God's desire. You know, it's not just a kind of one part of us walking with God. It's not just one part of God's heart for us. It's not just one part of God's plan. God is salvation. That's his heart burns that we will be united with him, that the people in Burkina will be united with him, the people down the street will be united with him. And me sharing the gospel message with others isn't a side thing that I may or may not do. God's heart burns for salvation. God's desire is that all men would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, as it says in Timothy. And so me, as a believer, I've given myself to God. So then salvation, so sharing the gospel with people, isn't just a side thing. It has to be everything that I am, because it's everything that God is. And, you know, that for me is a challenge. But that is God's heart. And, I guess God's given me a much greater, I don't know how you say it, but a greater desire to see salvation, a greater desire to see those who don't know God, those who are separated God, come into the fullness of God's life, for people to be saved, saved from death, saved from a mediocre life, saved from a boring life, saved from sickness, from poverty, from, you know, whatever's coming against them. Jesus saves. Yeah. Yes, he does. Another thing, just briefly. So before I went, my kind of big, I go to West Africa because I believe God wants me to take the gospel to those who don't know it. And that's true. That is my kind of primary. You know, I love West Africa. I went there before. I went there again this time. And yeah, I love it. And God's kind of given me a desire to take the gospel to those who don't know it. But he said to me also, you know, there is a need also for you to go to the church. Because if there are a bunch of people who don't know Jesus and they get saved, they need to come into an exciting, alive, going for it church that's full of life. And so one very practical thing, well, God said to me that I should take the life that is here in this church, take it to West Africa, take it to the church there. Because there's something going on here that's, you know, you're in it, it's exciting. There is a life here and an excitement that a lot of people don't have. And one of the things God said to me is take the life that's here and bring it there, as well as, you know, preaching the gospel and seeing all that good stuff. I think I'm going to wrap up. But one thing I want to say as well, you know, for me, West Africa is a long-term thing. God has said to me, through my going last time, through being here, through various people talking to me, through praying, all sorts, God has said to me, look, I want you to go to West Africa. The West Africa is a part of my life. So I guess you could say there is the call on my life to go to West Africa. And the next step for me, I believe, is taking teams out there. Taking teams and then seeing how it develops. Yeah. Partnering with the church and doing stuff. But I want to say this, though, that if you're sitting here and what we've said has in some way got you excited, not just, well, it is exciting, But, you know, if God's kind of stirred you a bit and you're thinking, oh, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, I fancy a bit of that. Or you believe God's kind of just nudging you. You know, come and talk to me and we can make it happen. You know, Christians, believers, they're not meant to be a passive people who sit around and think, you know, in a few years, maybe I'll have a go at this or that. But the believers who really make a difference are the ones who do. And yeah, if you're sitting there and you think, I want to do that, come and talk to me and we can make it happen, which would be cool. Amen. Yeah, I think that's everything. I think we're over you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.